given every believer some spiritual gift. That gift is to be exercised for the welfare of the whole body. This means that each member of the body has something to contribute to the whole body. It also means that the whole body needs each individual member. We have become so perverted and distorted in our thinking, we have come to believe that one man is sufficient for all the needs of a congregation. And often we look to him to do the total work, that is, in the providence of God, to be equally distributed among the whole body. Such inevitably leads to a dwarfing of the congregation. God has given these gifts sovereignly, as it pleases him. He has given them individually, and he has given them for the welfare of the body. But suppose, having received a gift which is necessary for the welfare of the whole, we do not exercise that gift. What then? And I believe the apostle has something to say about this matter in dealing with Timothy. Timothy was Paul's representative in the city of Ephesus. The church at Ephesus had been established by Paul, his missionary journey. And he carried an extended period of time there to ground the saints in the word and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And when he left, he committed the work to the oversight of the elders whom he had prepared, so that as they exercised their spiritual gifts, there might be soundness in the body. But he left Ephesus with a warning, as given to us in Acts chapter 20, that after his departure, grievous wolves would enter into the flock. The flock needed to be safeguarded. They needed to be taught, grounded in the truth, so that when these false teachers came, they would not be carried away. But those teachers came, and the flock, or some of the flock, had followed after them. Paul, out of concern for the flock there in Ephesus, sent his companion Timothy, because Timothy had the gift of a teacher. This was early discovered, for in Acts chapter 16, when the apostle was on his missionary journey and sought a companion who could travel with him to share the work with him, he chose Timothy, verse 1, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And Paul wasn't interested in a traveling companion or a baggage boy who could look after him. Paul was concerned that there be one to share the ministry with him. Timothy's gifts were recognized by the church where he had grown up, because he had exercised those gifts there. For as we have seen, apart from the use of a gift, the gift will not only not benefit, but will not even be known or recognized. But Timothy had used his gift, and his gift had been recognized. And so when Paul would take Timothy with him, the churches from which he had come gathered together. Through the elders, they laid hands on him. By so doing, they conferred nothing on Timothy. He already possessed the gift and was set apart because he had profitably exercised that gift. But it was a sign that Timothy was recognized as having this gift. And it was a sign that the church that was sending him out was behind him, was supporting him, because they did recognize his gift, and that he was one with them and they one with him in the ministry. And Paul referred to this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, when he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or the elders. And as we have noted, these elders laid hands on Timothy and made a prophecy or a public proclamation. This man possesses spiritual gifts, and we anticipate great blessings as a result of the exercise of those gifts as he travels with Paul. And the wisdom of setting Timothy apart to this ministry was seen because as we move through the book of Acts and Paul's earlier epistles, we find that Timothy was a faithful companion. He was an able teacher. He supported Paul in his ministry. He was able to take responsibilities, discharge those responsibilities acceptably. So when Paul sent him to Ephesus because of the incursion of false doctrine, here was a young man, recognized, proven, tried, found true. But when he came to Ephesus, he met such opposition, and the unbelief around him was so great, and the force of the false teachers so insidious, that Timothy became discouraged. And he stopped trying. That's an understandable response. We see that Timothy was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he tried. And when he seemed to have failed, he gave up. And he quit. And he stayed there where Paul had assigned him. He was seems to have been afraid to leave. But he was not about the business that he'd been sent there to do. To put it plainly, Timothy was not exercising his spiritual gift. And Paul wrote to remind him of why he was there. Will you look in over into 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 and 8. For Paul says, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which was in thee by the putting out of my hand. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, and Timothy was scared, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind, or an ability to see things in their true light. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Paul reminds him that Timothy needed to stir up the gift. And the word stir up is the word that would be used of bringing a fire that once had been burning brightly but has subsided back to flame again. And when that fire is subsided, you bring it to a consuming flame by stirring it up and moving it. And that's what Timothy needed. And Paul, as it were, is putting his finger down into Timothy's heart to stir it around so that the flame that once had burned but has subsided may burn again. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Because he had stopped preaching the word. For back in 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. That is teach, who shall be able to teach others also. So Timothy is writing these two epistles, Paul is writing these two epistles to Timothy to stir into flame that which had subsided, that he might stop neglecting the gift that was in him. Now I think as we go through these epistles, we see two important notes that Paul touches on as to why Timothy should be faithful in the exercise of his spiritual gifts. The first is related to Timothy himself. Timothy is held responsible to God for the exercise of the gifts that had been entrusted to him. Having received a gift to exercise, Timothy will be held accountable before God as to how he exercises that gift. We've already read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, but may I call this part of the verse to your attention? Charge thee, preach the word. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, it is appearing at his kingdom. Paul reminds Timothy that every man is accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize full well the glorious truth of the gospel, that there is therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. The sin question has been settled. Our sin has been removed. The record of sin has been blotted out and the page made white and clean. We will not be brought into accountability for our sins, because those sins have forever been purged away by the blood of Christ. But, child of God, do not miss the sobering truth that every child of God must give an account of his stewardship before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. The New Testament often refers to believers as stewards. A steward is one who has received a treasure. And having received that treasure, he is responsible for its use. And the one who entrusted that stewardship to him, that treasure to him, will one day call him to account as to how he discharged his stewardship. That is why Paul writes, he says, we shall all appear before the judgment seat or the bema of Christ. But Paul says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul had the gift of an apostle. He would be held accountable as to how he discharged his apostleship. Timothy had the gift of teacher. He would not be called to accountability as an apostle, but as a teacher. The one who receives a gift from God is to be examined, not for the gift someone else possesses, but for the gift that he possesses. Even though you would evaluate your gift as one of the most insignificant of all the spiritual gifts, if you recognize that that is your gift, you will be held accountable before God concerning the exercise of that gift. And if your gift be what you would deem to be an insignificant gift, God expects the same faithfulness from you that he expects from one whom you would deem to have one of the most significant gifts. It is this truth that Paul wants to remind Timothy when he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, or unto the teaching, the exercise of the teaching gift that is given to you. Continue thou in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself. Thou shalt save thyself. Now, Timothy was already a child of God. He had settled the sin question. He couldn't have been a teacher of revealed truth had he not known Christ as a personal Savior. So Paul is not saying your eternal salvation depends on how faithful you are as a teacher of the Word. He's using the word save here in an entirely different sense. He said, Timothy, if you take heed to teaching, and you teach, and you continue to teach, in spite of the opposition and the discouragement and the seeming failure, you shall deliver yourself from any judgment when you are examined at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul is viewing Timothy as a steward, and he will be held accountable, and he will come under God's discipline at the judgment seat. And discipline at the judgment seat means loss of reward. And if you would prove yourself a faithful steward of this gift of teacher and deliver yourself from judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, you must not neglect the gift that is in thee. Timothy could well lose his reward. I think Paul has that in mind when he says in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that is, to exercise the gift that you have. Now notice this phrase, that thy profiting may appear to all. That thy profiting. And the phrase, thy profiting, refers to that which those to whom Paul, or to whom Timothy ministered, recognize as a basis for God's approval or God's reward. So that when Timothy abandoned the ministry, the saints, even though Timothy didn't sense it, would recognize that he was faithless and deserved no reward. But on the other hand, the saints who watched Timothy in spite of opposition, defeat, and discouragement persist in the gift that was given to him, would say, this man has been faithful. He deserves God's approval and God's reward. And it would be evident to the saints in Ephesus that Timothy was conducting himself for profit or for loss. So Paul reminds Timothy that he should not neglect the gift because he was held accountable for the stewardship entrusted to him, and that he was in danger of losing his reward because of his defection in the discharge of his ministry. I don't think I need to emphasize again this important point, that every child of God has a gift, and he is accountable to that, for that gift, and the basis of his reward in heaven for eternity will be on how he exercises his gift. There's a second thing that I think Paul emphasizes to Timothy. Not only will Timothy lose his reward, but the church will lose the benefit of the exercise of that gift. And of the two, the second is the more important. In the first case, it would be Timothy who loses, one man who suffers. In the second case, the whole body of saints would lose. And in that, many suffer. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. As a result, the whole church would be edified. Or as Paul says at the end of verse 5 of that chapter, make full proof of thy ministry. The result of the ministry of teaching was the edifying of saints in knowledge. It is quite evident, were there no teacher to teach the word, there would be no growth. The growth of the church was directly related to the teaching of the word. And it's this simple. No teaching, no growth. If there's no growth, the church stays in a state of babyhood and does not come to maturity. The same truth is emphasized in 1 Timothy 4 and verse... No, that's not what I'm looking for. I want chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. And these faithful men, having been taught the truth, and having received, like Timothy, a gift of teaching, will be able to teach others also. God's method of building up the church was to send a teacher who could teach the saints so that God in turn could gift them as teachers to the church. Do you see, beloved, the growth of the church depended on the exercise of the gift of teaching. And if Timothy did not teach the saints so that the saints in turn could teach others, the church would stay in its bottle and diaper stage of spiritual development. And to Paul, this was a tragedy. For God was concerned not only that the unsaved should be saved, he was concerned that his children should grow to perfection, to maturity in Jesus Christ. That is why a church that is not committed through its entire program to teaching the saints so that they can teach others is not fulfilling the purpose and program of God for the church. And there are multitudes who sit in the pew and starve to death because they're not being taught. Where there's no growth, there will be immaturity. Where there's immaturity, the church will not be able to function. There will not be gifted men equipped for the various ministries for which they have been gifted. And if Timothy neglects the gift that is in him, the Ephesian church that started so strong under the exercise of Paul's gift would shrivel, wither, and eventually die. You see, Timothy would lose, but also the church would lose. And since the Lord, the head, is concerned with the growth of the body, he is concerned about each individual member exercising his gift for the welfare of the whole body. Now, I know that many of you feel very insignificant. You would never aspire to a pulpit. You could not conceive of yourself going to the mission field. Say, what use am I? If there's something I would like to emphasize through this whole series of studies on the spiritual gifts, it is this truth that in the sight of God there is no insignificant member of the body. And there is no useless member of the body unless you fail to exercise the gift that God has given to you. We need each other. And God has designed it that way. And He has brought us together that we might minister the one to the other. Therefore, the child of God seeks to know what his gift is, seeks opportunities to exercise that gift so that there may be soundness in the body. The whole body might be strong because each contributes that which God gave him to the church to perform. I had a great experience this week. This ministry of one part of the body to another. Those of you that were with us in prayer meeting Wednesday night will recall that in the course of our prayer request, I made mention of the unusual number of heavy pastoral responsibilities that had fallen on me in the span of this 1 week. Two funerals. All that's involved in ministering to the bereaved. A wedding. All that's involved in preparing for that. Five or six people in the hospital. I was involved in that. Numerous phone calls and appointments about serious personal problems. And I shared with the saints there that the physical and the emotional drain was such that I needed God's help, and I asked the saints to pray for me. Now, when I was thinking and enumerating the prayer requests, the temptation that came to me was, well, that's personal. I'll handle that myself. I won't bother the saints with that. You know, I think in all honesty, we'd have to say that's pride. That is a failure to recognize the need of the body. And I recognized it as that. And I shared the need. And we prayed in our circle and others prayed. By the time we had finished our prayer time, I felt as though a great burden had been lifted off me. I went home that night. Thursday and Friday were days of unusual stress. But I got up Thursday feeling as refreshed as though I'd had a week's vacation in the island. And moved through the day, Thursday and Friday, without feeling either physical or emotional fatigue. Now, what was it? One member of the body ministering to another. And all day Thursday and all day Friday, I could hear in the back of my mind the prayers of some of the saints. And some of the young people that are sitting here as they pray for their pastor. And the Lord taught me something from that. If I become too proud, too independent, let the members of the body minister to me as God gifts them to minister, I rob them of the right to exercise their gift, and I rob myself of the benefit. Beloved of God, that's what this is all about. One member ministering to another member as they are gifted to do for the welfare of the body, and that we might be accounted faithful for our stewardship when we answer the one who gave us as his gift the church. We pray our Father, God the Holy Spirit might teach us these most important truths concerning our relationship with each other. We might recognize that we are not sufficient for ourselves. We need each other. That one member can minister to another member. Young can minister to the older to the young. wives to husbands and husbands to wives and children to parents and parents to children. We pray that we might enter deeper and deeper into this experience of ministering in love, the gift that God has given us to exercise. Look on our dismissals with the riches of thy grace and mercy and peace upon us. Jesus' worthy name we pray. Amen.
And thus ends our message this evening on Conference Pulpit from Dr. Dwight Pentecost. The name of the message, The Danger of Not Exercising Spiritual Gifts. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and feel motivated to do so tonight, well, tonight is your night. Call us here at BBN and we'll explain to you how to become a Christian. 1-800-888-7077. 1-800-888-7077. Listen tomorrow evening to Conference Pulpit at the same time. We'll hear Dr. Dwight Pentecost again. And his message tomorrow evening is entitled, The Problem of Knowing God's Will.